Baptist Church for our Sunday evening service. I'll give you a moment to find your seats and then we'll get started. Amen. Brother Dwayne Chase, would you open our service with prayer, please?
Father, we are again grateful for your love, for your watch care. Well, thank you for saving the people. Thank you for the privilege to gather again in your house to do the word, fellowship with other Christians. We pray now for this service. Where is everything said and done, we can honor the Lord. Pray that we go away better than when they came. Lord, bless our country. Speak to the leaders. Bless their hearts. Lord, that you just to be honored, Lord, and will not be praised.
Amen. Take the song book, turn to page number 145. You may remain seated as we sing Rescue the Perishing, 145.
Thank you.
prayer list. On Friday evening, Pastor mentioned that Sister Russell was in the hospital. Has she been released? Okay, praise the Lord. Continue to pray for Sister Russell. She had some stroke symptoms. And so, praise the Lord, she's been released. Sister Toombs will be traveling. Pray for her safety. And I was told of a pastor in Pennsylvania, Ed Woods, who had bleeding on the brain and is in the hospital. So pray for Pastor Ed Woods. Are there others to add to the prayer list tonight? All right, let's take your songbook. Turn to page number 139. Let's stand together as we sing at Calvary. 139.
See you here. I hope that you've had a good day in the Lord. We will be in Genesis tonight. I have made a decision to go back to where we left off in Genesis. Genesis chapter 26. We have been studying verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and it's been a little while because of the shutdown and everything, but I think we're all adults, and if you are not familiar with it, go back from Genesis chapter 1 and read to Genesis chapter 25, and you'll be caught back up with us. It's good to have visitors with us tonight. We're thankful God always brings visitors our way, so we're glad that you're here with us. Good to have the Callahan family in with us with their new baby, and so if you didn't get to see the new baby yet, make sure you get by to visit with the new baby over there. After church, teams, see Sister Vivian and Brother Jason. And you wanted me to announce something else. If you bought a white shirt, adults, and you want your shirt tie-dyed, they will do it for you this Saturday. So over here, the camp shirts that are on sale for the church. If you bought a white one and you want it tie-dyed, what if they bought a gray one and want it tie-dyed? Can they do that?
I don't know how good
it is here,
but they can.
No,
you
can't do it.
I got a gray one.
Don't worry, Father. You're going to give us the test, Jason?
Yep.
Okay. And if you would like them to do that, they would be willing to do that for you. And there is no suggested donations. But if you go through me as an agent, you're about $12 a shirt. So better see Sister Vivian. You might get a better price. That will be a blessing to them. If you want it tie-dye, that's up to you. And then after church, there's some more donuts left over in the Family Life Center. If somebody wants one, take one home from this morning, from the Donuts with Dad. So if you want one, two, or whatever you want to take, maybe you want to take some to a co-worker or something, please go by and help yourself over in the Family Life Center after church tonight. All right, Genesis chapter 26. And this is where we left off. Probably been since the 1st of March, somewhere around in there. We're going to read the whole chapter tonight, and then we're going to study through it and just see what we can pick up to learn to help us out. The whole thought of this chapter is Isaac. Now, it's actually the only chapter in the whole chapter in the Bible that deals with Isaac. Isaac is the ordinary son of a great father. Who was his father? Abraham. But Isaac's just kind of ordinary. You study the life of Abraham, some great things took place. But with Isaac, he just kind of kept the faithful step. And he had a pretty awesome son after his son got his life in order. You know, Jacob was a supplanter. So you got a great father, ordinary son, ordinary father, great son, all the same man, Isaac. But one fact we know about Isaac is Isaac lived longer than any of the patriarchs. In Genesis 35:28, it says he lived 180 years. And so that was older than Abraham, older than Jacob there. And so we're going to look here, and we're going to study a little bit of this chapter. He's mentioned several other places throughout the book of Genesis, but this is the only chapter where the whole chapter is dealing with his life. And there was a famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife. Thus said he, The men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how saidest thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife. Thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sold in that land, and received in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, went forward, and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, and possessions of herds, and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his servants, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, found there a well of springing water. Verse 20. And the herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Ezah, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence, and digged another well. And for they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Verse 25. And he built an altar there, called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahaziah, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee. Let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Verse 30. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning, and sware one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came, and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Beshemeth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. The main thought of this passage as I read through it is Isaac facing difficulties. Isaac facing difficulties. The chapter starts off in verses 1 through 5. There's a renewal of the covenant of Abraham. In verses 1 and 2, you find a testing before the renewal. The Bible says that there was a famine in the land. And certainly today, in our day and age, there is a famine in the land. A couple of months ago, it was a famine of toilet paper. Now, it's a famine that has always and will continue to be a famine of the Word of God. And we got to be careful that we as God's people study to show ourselves approved unto God and be found faithful in these latter days which we find ourselves in. The Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse. That which is called good shall be called evil, and that which is evil shall be good. We're seeing it played out right before us. It's happening. Constant, has been happening for some time now. But in this passage of Scripture, there's a testing that takes place. And then right after the testing, as the famine was laid out there before us, Isaac decides that he's fixing to take a trip. And the Lord gives him a little bit of warning. Aren't you thankful for the red flags of God and the red lights of God? In the middle of this situation, when he's about to take a trip, I believe God was trying to get his mind a little bit closer than he really wanted it to be gotten, because we see here in this portion an old sin that's renewed. We'll get to that in a minute. But God says to him in verse 2, he said, "The Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." So God threw up a red flag in the middle of this famine. God's not going to leave us. He said, "I'll never forsake thee nor leave thee. I'll always be with you." And in the midst of troubles, God is wanting to speak to us if we'll just listen. He that have a ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And then God goes back over the covenant with Isaac, and he lets him have a reminder. Remember back over in Genesis chapter 12, if you'd flip back there real quick in verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 12, this is the Abrahamic covenant. It's a covenant of God with Abraham. In verse number 1, Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land which I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Back over in our text tonight, Genesis chapter 26, God reminds Isaac of this. In verse number 3 and 4, the Bible says, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I'll bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed shall be shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And so in the middle of this here trial, the troubles that Isaac is going through, in the middle of this famine, God comes and says, "Listen, dwell where I tell you. Pay attention, listen to me, heed the words that I'm telling you, and dwell in this land where I would have you to go." Let me tell you something, dear friend. God's blessings abide with those that are found faithful. God's blessing abides with those that are found faithful. Listen to what it says in verse 5. God said, "I'm going to do this, Isaac. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this." And God says in verse 5, "Because." This is the reason. "I'm going to do this, Isaac, not because Isaac was faithful, but because Abraham was faithful. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, commandments, my statutes, and my laws." I'm going to tell you, dear friend, it's a great responsibility that rides upon the shoulders of God's people. God has given us the Holy Spirit to live within inside of us. He's given us a Word of God that is sealed and settled forever in heaven, and inspired and kept by the God of the universe, that we might hide it in our heart, that we might not sin against God. And it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I'm going to tell you, when you're not faithful, you're going to disobey God. What did Isaac end up doing? Isaac dwelt in the land of Gerar. That's not where God said to dwell. Stay right here where you're at. Stay put. Stay here right where you're at. And Isaac went on down, and he got into the land of Gerar, around King Abimelech and the Philistines. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, when you get outside of God's plan, there is traps and there's sinful situations that do present themselves that we are not able to escape from. What happened? Listen, this is my sister here. Well, we've heard that story before, haven't we? Not once, twice, Abraham said it. You know what's the old saying about the apple? Yeah. Abraham said it twice, and guess what his son did? Be sure your sin will find you out. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God had him in a famine. God appeared to him, said, abide here, and I'm going to bless you and bless your people, not because of you, but because of Abraham. He reminded him of God, of Abraham's faithfulness, and he disobeyed, and he found himself in a situation where he had to compromise because of the weakness of the flesh. I don't know why it is that we think we can stand on our own. I don't know why it is that we think that we can get out here and just put our toe off in the water of the world and we're going to make a difference on our own. He couldn't. And immediately he found himself lying and telling the same lie that he had been taught by his father. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I got four sons and four daughters. And the way they act, they don't act like husband and wife. The Bible says Abimelech was looking out a window. I don't know which one it was. I don't know if it was the window of the garden, the window of the palace, the window of the dining facility. All I know is that Abimelech was there and he was looking out a window. The king, the Philistines looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. They were acting like husband and wives. We need to be careful that we don't play the game of husband and wife. But we become one flesh and become, in the sight of God, man is one flesh. And this king looked out that window. It didn't take much. He understood, hey, something ain't right. The Bible says, and he called Isaac immediately. Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, that same rebuke. I mean, this ought to wake us up, dear friend. Our father didn't get away with it twice. We're not going to get away with it, Isaac. And I'm going to tell you that you and I are not going to get away with it. God's not going to be trifled with. God loves us and He cares for us. And He wants us to be conformed into the image of Christ. And He wants us to be, as we are in Christ, a new creature. And all things are passed away, but all things become new. He wants us to become more and more Christ-like as the days go by in our lives. But when we disobey God, like Isaac did here, we find ourselves compromised to the weakness of the flesh. But isn't God good? Listen what happens. Abimelech rebukes him. Then Abimelech, verse 11, charges his men and all the people, said, don't touch this man or his wife. He said, you shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac. This is the goodness of God. He's in disobedience still. He's still living in Gerar. That's not where God told him to be. He doesn't lie. He's been rebuked by the king of Philistine, Abimelech. And the Bible says, then Isaac sold in the land and received the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him. Different God is good even in our sinful ways. God poured out blessing and blessing upon him. The Bible said, for he had possessions, verse 13, and the man waxed great, went forward and grew until he became very great. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. This is God reaching out to Isaac and pulling at him and said, listen, I've got something better for you. I've got something that is needful for you. And he began to bless him and pour him out and to increase him. Till the Bible says in verse 14, for he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth. You see, this world's not your home. This world's not your friend. When they begin to become jealous, become envious, and become contrary to you, they will do some dirty stuff. I don't know, I've never had to dig a well by hand. I think the water table around here is full of shadow. Especially nowadays with all this rain we have. But I don't tell you, I don't want to get out here in the back of the church property and let's take turns with shovels digging a hole till we get some water to drink and to survive on and sustain ourselves. I'm not interested in doing it. But these here, well, this hard work digging away. They didn't have no drill, no drill pump. They didn't have no mechanical system. Different. They had to labor, work hard. They had to secure the walls and shore it up. So that in some of the cases, they even built stairwells where they could walk down into the bottom, fill up their water pieces, and come back up out of there. Now the enmity, and the Bible says that they stopped up and filled the wells which had been digged and by Abraham and put there by Abraham, they filled them back up with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. Is that something? So the old sin's renewed, God blesses, then he's charged by Abimelech to leave. They fill up the water systems. I don't know if it was right there really close to Gear or had been, you know, because Abraham was a herdsman. He traveled with his herd and from place to place looking for green grass to feed them. And looking for green grass, he had to dig these wells in certain places. I remember some years ago I was out in Colorado and the rancher that I was with, they had... I don't even know what the section was called, but it was a 5,000 acre of something. They called it something. It had a name to it. And he had like 20,000 acres that his cattle ranched on because it just was so dry out there. And he said, listen, we got to go check the windmill. And we're riding around out in the middle of everywhere. And there's windmills like there ain't even hardly a goat path out there. And he said, every time, every day, he's got to check them in the winter so they don't freeze up. Because the cow has got to have water. Got to have that water. It was hard work even riding out there and that. I can imagine here, and then they cover them up. You'd think it'd be a little bit of spark got into Isaac's heart and Isaac's mind and want to set things right. Look what it says. Verse 17, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gear and dwelt there. Still not willing to get up out of there and get to the land where God had told him to stay. He just moved on out. You remember Lot? This is kind of reversed. At least he's making some progress. So he dwelt there in the tent. And listen to what he said he did. Verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells of the water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he called their names, and after the names which his father had called them. Verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And all the city and all the people were happy, right? And the herdmen of Gear did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Isaac, because they strove with him. Isaac, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's a word that means contention. Listen, you stay off in this world. You know, we think we're going to just linger by the edge of the world. You're going to have trouble. You got trouble with the flesh. You have trouble with those around you. You're going to have trouble with on every side. He digged that well, and here come the herd and said, this water's ours. It was in their valley. I don't know why God's people think we can take claim to the things of this world like it's ours. This world's not our home. It's not our home at all. You know what Isaac did? I believe this is God prodding Isaac, God moving Isaac and using the herdmen of this land to get Isaac where he needed to be. And the Bible says there in verse number 21, and they digged another way and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. Sitnah is a word that comes from hatred. What did Jesus tell us? They hated me. This old world, this old sinful people hated me. They're going to hate you also. I don't know why we're surprised when this world doesn't care for Christianity. Doesn't care for the blood of Christ. They're opposed to God. They're alienated to God. And they're the enemies of the cross. So there was contention. You stay in this old world, you sit upon this world, dear friend, you will have contention and hatred and chaos and confusion all about you. All about you. What would you and I be willing to do? I think about right now, we'd be wanting to put on some gloves and fix this here. Hey, let's get it. Listen. Sting like a butterfly, I'll knock you out, man. What are you talking about? Putting, this is yours. This is hard work. We don't know nothing about digging no wells. I can't even explain to you. I guess maybe one day we just need to get out here as men and just gather up and do like they did to us, dig a hole here and just to see how hard it really is. I don't think we realize. He digged another well. They hated him for it. Verse 22. And he removed from thence and digged another way. For that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Rehoboth means enlargement. Enlargement. But as I looked at this and I've studied it and I thought about this, you know, there's not every fight you're invited to, you have to get into. It's hard work digging a well. That's our well. We want it. They struggle with it. Fine. Okay. We'll move over. We dig another well. This is the sad part. As far as we can tell, they waited till they actually found water. This is what the world does to you. Drains you of all your energy. Lets you do all the labor and work. You know, the way the transgressors are. Remember, Isaac's still in transgression of God's law right now. The way of the transgressors, they let him do all the work. But remember, I told you, God's using them to get Isaac back to where he wants. Preacher, how do you know that? Because listen to what happens. Verse 24. When he got back to where he was supposed to be, what does it say? And the Lord appeared unto him the same night. You wonder why we ain't get no visit from God? Maybe it's because of where we're digging our wells. You wonder why God hadn't appeared and talked to you and hadn't spoke to you in that still small voice? When's the last time God spoke to him? Back in verse 2, right? He came to him, gave him a warning. Stay here. You think this famine caught God by surprise? No. Didn't catch God by surprise. Yeah, but God blessed him while I was out in there. And God allowed him to increase. Not for his sake. Because Abraham was faithful. Because Abraham was did right. Because Abraham obeyed the commandments. But God began to chastise him, move. And you see Isaac yielding. Instead of fighting back, instead of kicking back, instead of taking hold of what he really worked for, he moved on. I think it'd do us all well to remember. Just because we've been invited to the fight Doesn't mean we have to fight. Preacher, you're a pastor. By no means. By no means. But I do realize there are some battles that's the Lord's. And He fights them a whole lot better than I could ever hope to battle. And when I get right with God, what a blessing. Can you imagine? As He moved over into Beersheba, and He was there, and all of a sudden, after all those years, all those times, the Lord appeared to him. Can you imagine with me, just for a little bit, about how it was at the end of Malachi? From Malachi to Matthew, 400 years. No open vision. No voice of God. No prophet to stand. Then all of a sudden on the scene pops a man eating honey and wild locusts. Whoa, what happened here? They were looking for something. But what they were looking for was not of God. They were looking for their own Messiah. When John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Messiah. And the Lord appeared to him. And this is amazing. This is truly amazing. The whole time Abimelech's men, the herdmen of Gior, are taking these here wells. Pretty strategic, right? If you have a battle, have a war, you have a situation where you need to get some drink, they keep pushing them back. Sit in the boundary a little further back. Then all of a sudden they get far enough back and the Lord appears. Abimelech changes his tune, don't he? What does the Bible say about the heart of a king? You see how it works? God's well able, when we're in the will of God, when we're where God wants us to be, and we're doing what God has asked us to be, and we're there, God is able. Not that He's not able. We have shortened His hand. We have stopped up His ear with our own actions. Not that God's not able. We see God's able. God blessed him. He became very great in this situation where he transgressed against God's word. But when he got back, there's a difference, dear friend, in being part of the family and hearing the voice. And the voice is talking straight to you. Isaac was always part of God's family. He was chosen by God. It was a place and lineage that was laid out before him. But when he could hear the voice, Abimelech showed up. I show you, let me stop before I get to Abimelech. Look what happened when you're around God, the things of God, look what you want to do. Verse 25. He built the altar. Well, wait a minute. You think there wasn't a need for an altar back over in Gior? What's that telling me? When my heart is there in the world, it will not be on God. I can't serve two masters. I'll cleave to the one and I'll hate the other. When he got back to where he was supposed to be, right where God had wanted him, then he began to build an altar. Not only did he build an altar, it wasn't just for show. There's too much religious show in this world. Not only was it for show, it was not for show. He began to call on the name of the Lord. Well, we just went through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, all the way back. We hadn't heard him call on the name of the Lord yet. You know what they tell me? In that world, our minds sit on other things. Our hearts is entangled with the things and cares of this world. But when we're near God, dear friend, we build altars. We call on His name. And we pitch our tent. And the Bible says there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. You get a refreshing energy when you're around the things of God, don't you? If you're tired, weary, what did Jesus say? Come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, come on. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Come on. This world will wear you out, dear friend. This world will wear you out. But when God's on you, God's around you, the world take note. What does it say in verse number 28? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with them. Last time he talked to Abimelech, Abimelech hated him, right? Abimelech said, get up out of here. You're greater than us. But whenever they saw the Lord was with Isaac, now they want a covenant, a treaty, because of the Lord. You think they didn't know about the power and hand of God? You think they heard somebody call them and say, hey, this is Abraham's son. And I remember there was five kings came and they took Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham, the man of God, he came with 318 trained servants of God. And they took and overtook those five kings. And hey, listen, this God, the God of Abraham, the God that Isaac is serving now, he is a powerful God. We better make a covenant with thee. So Isaac made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. Verse 30. And the Bible says they rose up betimes, that's early, in the morning, swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Listen, Isaac had every reason to hold a grudge. You know what Isaac could have said, Brother Jim? Hey, you know Sipna that y'all took from me? Hey, do you know Isaac, that well? You want this covenant? You're going to have to give it up. He didn't even think about it, did he? He didn't even bring it into the picture. He didn't even talk about it. He said, last time we were together, you hated me. What do you want with me now? I said, we see the Lord's with you. And he fixed them a feast. Some of us still be mad about the well that we lost, when actually what they lost got them closer to God. You understand, some things that God takes away from you get you back to where God wants you. Not everything that you lose is for your worst. It's for your best sometimes, dear friend. We need to be where God can be seen in us, the hope of glory. Last time they had this conversation, get away from us, you are very great. Now they're saying, for certainly the Lord is with thee. Then all of a sudden they're gone, verse 32. It's like God reaffirming everything right here. Here comes the servants. We got water. Water once again. I'll tell you, the blessings of God is refreshing. Refreshing. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba until this day. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, listen to me. All of a sudden, out of the blue, Esau was 40 years old when he took wife Judith, and daughter of Beriah and the Hittite, Beshemeth, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. Listen to what it says. Which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Sometimes as parents, your children make decisions that's going to cause you grief. Will cause you heartache. But nowhere do we read that Isaac or Rebekah ever got in there and tried to fix the grown youngins. They were grieved, troubled, but they didn't try to fix it. You know, there's a lot of mother-in-laws that's caused a whole lot of heartache. Be careful. You may be grieved. You may be troubled. A lot of father-in-laws stick their nose in places that they don't belong. may trouble you, but it's your place to pray, not to fix. Your place to love, not to correct them. Your place to offer wisdom that's asked for, not advice that's never wanted to be gleaned. Out of the blue, two verses just pop like, where did this come from? God has a purpose and a reason for everything. You want peace and you want feasting, you're going to have to be in the will of God. And you can feast even with your enemies if you're right with God. You're right with God. Father, we do love you. We thank you for these scriptures. We thank you for the book of Genesis that we have studied now for quite some time. Lord, we're not excited that we had to take off from studying it for a couple of months, but we're thankful that we are still here and able to. Lord, we ask you to teach us from the book of Genesis as we study it every Sunday evening from here on out. We ask you, Lord, to bless our church. Bless our church family. Help us to be people of the Word. Not just hearing it, quoting it, but help us to be living out the written Word in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be around our neighbors and they see Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in us. Help our community to know that there's a church here that loves them and is concerned about them and wants them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the strength to serve you. We ask your protection upon our law enforcement, our military, our elected officials. We ask you for wisdom. Lord, help us to not be reactors to a situation. Help us to be followers of you, even in this famine that we find ourselves in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget to visit with Sister Vivian and Brother Jason. And don't forget, there is donuts over there. Get by and say hello to our visitors. Thank y'all for coming. You're dismissed. Brother James Lewis's, Jane Lewis's family. He pastored in Alabama. Struggled with cancer a couple of years ago. In this past couple of months, he came back and he died this weekend. Had a great church. You run about 700-800 people over there. And we're thankful that God has used him. The teens know who I'm talking about. We've went and seen him preach twice. And also, the Advent Hospital is being overwhelmed in the ICU department right now. So please be safe. Wash your hands. Stay distant. And be safe. Okay, we have a God in heaven who loves us. And he cares about us. And I don't care if we think this is real, not real, half real, some real. All I know is I want to see every one of you back here next Sunday. So you as adults and heads of your home, do what you have to do to keep yourself safe. Because God's got to work for us. And if we're not able to carry on that work for Him because we're incapacitated from fevers or emphysema or COVID, it doesn't matter. We're going to miss out on some blessings. We need to be ready and able to step back out in our community as soon as we get to go ahead and reach out to our community. And we need to do it with a good heart. Okay? Don't allow your emotions to rule you in this situation. But ask God for wisdom. Ask God how He would have you to act or react in this situation that we're in. I love you and have a good evening, church.